Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we're going to be getting into a conversation about some of the advances that are happening in the world of market research. And we're going to be talking about a particular platform, you know, called Behavior Tech. And to help us with that, we are joined by Mike Abel, who is Executive Chairman of MNC Saatchi Group South Africa, as well as being Non-Executive Chairman over at Sense, which is, you know, the parent of Behavior Tech. Mike, greetings to you today.
Hello, Madiwe. Lovely to be on your show.
So, Behavior Tech, that's what we're here to talk about, which means, you know, given your now your list of titles, we are focusing on the Sense side of things. So maybe that's where we can begin with you giving us a sense of Sense. You know, what is the business about? What are some of the platforms that you guys are involved in?
So the idea behind Sense is believing that with technology as it is today and the myriad, I think, of recent innovations, there's a far better way of conducting customer research. And so what Sense really does is it combines behavior tech. It uses AI. It uses data. It uses behavioral science and psychology, really, to get to much better and much deeper and much more verified insights from customers when you conduct research. So I can talk a little bit more about that if you like.
No, most certainly. There was, when I was doing my reading up before we had this session, there was a line that particularly stuck out to me as a self-proclaimed geek and someone who, you know, covers the technology sector. And we've had a number of you know, conversations on this particular platform about the use of AI and that type of thing. And that specific line said that you know, your companies, you know, save a quarter of the current cost of marketing research at a quarter of the lead time with 10 times the data quality. What does that mean?
Well, if you think of traditional qualitative research, you know, which might take the form of focus groups or one-on-one interviews, you know, you require a researcher, you require a respondent, you require, you know, either venue and lead times and setting things up. Here, what we've got is we've kind of liberated qualitative research from those restrictions, whereby you will be interviewed online in a very deep and thorough way by an avatar, very much a human-looking avatar. So not an avatar, as you would imagine, you know, in a traditional sense, but somebody that looks and speaks like you or I. And that person will be able to conduct that research as and when it suits the respondent. So it's a 24/7 opportunity to interview people. The behavioral tech behind it is going to be looking at that respondent's nonverbal cues, 70% or up to 70%. I'm loath to put, I guess, an exact amount to it because some people might say it's 40%, but a large majority of your truth, Madiwa, is in your nonverbal cues, how you speak, how you sit, where you look. And so our tech is picking up on all of that and is assessing the truth, the veracity scores of what you're saying. And if the respondent is, I guess, answering in a maybe a defensive or a less authentic or transparent way, the technology will change the line of questioning to elicit those deep truths in terms of getting to what you really feel, what your real sentiment is towards the company that you work in, because we might be hired by an HR department to assess staff sentiment towards an organization. You might be hired by a bank to see how customers feel about that company or telco, or whatever. So it's very important for us to be able to meet the consumer on their terms at a time that suits them. And you get a much higher level of, I guess, truth, where people feel that they can, that they're not being judged. You know, often within a focus group, the loudest person leads the conversation. And then people that have a more retiring personality, quietened down, people often feel judged by the people that are around them in terms of the answers they give. So we liberate respondents from all of that just to bring their authentic and true selves in a very non-threatening environment. And even then, if we feel that the answers are not entirely based on their authenticity, we will ask it in a very unthreatening way from another angle. And then obviously, because you are using data and you are using tech, it's simultaneously pulling all of that information and consolidating all of that information. So the process is far less human in terms of intervention, timeline, and cost, and much more automated.
I do need to ask. I think I've also read up on and gotten some mixes when it comes to communication. Others are willing to be a little bit, you know, to stick out their necks on the numbers. And I think the prevalent numbers that I've seen is that in any form of communication, they say that 55% is 55% is body language, 35% is tone of voice, and then they, I think they said 10% is the actual words coming out of you know, a person's mouth. That's, you know, at least from the research that I've seen, that's what some people say. And given what you've just described to us, I'm then curious to understand, what is your platform actually doing, right? Is it using a camera to read, you know, some of these things? Is it using microphones to detect inflections in people's voices? Is it analyzing, I guess, the words that are actually being spoken? Like, what's actually happening in the background? If we could, you know, just for maybe just a minute, get into the weeds a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I think you've actually articulated it perfectly, because it's doing all of that simultaneously. And that is what I guess technology is able to do at an advantage to what people can. It can, you know, gather all of those facts and fields and behaviors simultaneously. So absolutely, the camera, the microphone, the language, the tone that you're using, all of that kind of stuff is assessed simultaneously. You know, deep smarts, obviously, you know, programmed into the system in terms of psychology, in terms of behavioral science, combined with AI, and it's assessing all of those things at the same time. And as I said, if it feels like your answers are maybe slightly guarded and we're not getting to an authentic response, it will ask the same question from different angles, so that the respondent is in a position to share what they really would like to share about the company or the brand or the situation or the political party, depending on where it's deployed. And instead of garbage in, garbage out, you know, we want quality in and quality out. And so that is the way it has been developed. And that's why the reason I've got involved, Madhu, is, you know, I've been involved in marketing research for 35 years. You know, I've sat in countless interviews and focus groups and all sorts of research tools and methodologies. And this is the first time that I've seen, no fault of the other previous models, but that's what I guess technology does. And I think we're now at a point where we can harness behavior tech and data and analytics and look at how we get to much deeper, much more verified responses.
Now, Mike, on the day that you and I are having this conversation, it's actually quite interesting, because one of the mobile operators has been chasing me for about the last week or so, trying to secure 10 minutes of my time. But I'm in back-to-back meetings most of the time. And it's for a type of market research that they're trying to conduct, and they just want 10 or 15 minutes of my time. But whenever they call, it's always at the most inopportune times. I'm about to get into a meeting, or I am in a meeting, or I'm driving, you know, any number of factors that doesn't allow me to fully engage with the process. Earlier on, you mentioned the fact that because of the reduced, human interaction, it means that perhaps a person like myself could log into a particular platform and conduct, this particular, survey, focus group, market research at a time of my choosing, because it's, you know, at any time. But therein lies my question to say, when the onus is put on the question taker, you know, as opposed to, someone chasing me up, right? Now, from what you've seen, what are the chances that Mudiwa is actually gonna log into the platform, of his own accord and engage with, let's say, the behavior tech platform and actually conduct whatever, survey that they need to complete on behalf of, whatever the company or the organization is?
Well, I think, certainly, one can, depending on what the research is that's been conducted, incentivize respondents to go and join. You will get nudges and prompts in order to do it. And it will also be designed around relevance. So if you are working for an organization and they want to know how you are feeling about that company at that time, well, the relevance is quite high for you to fill it in. Also, the confidentiality around that research might be very high for you. And you might far prefer to talk to an avatar and to have a technology-driven interview than sitting down with somebody where you might feel judged or threatened or have some confidentiality risks around what you have to say. So I guess the more likely for people to go online and answer those questions themselves is based on relevance and, I guess, to an extent, dare I say, self-interest. How does it benefit me to go and do this thing as opposed to how does it benefit the company? I mean, I think that some of the most irritating encounters that one can have with a brand is when that company phones you all the time and bugs you, as you say, and they do have a perfect knack of phoning you always at the imperfect moment. So I think that's our lived experience for all of us. So this is really to liberate valued customers and employees from that experience and to encourage them to engage on their own terms, really. But yes, it will probably take more nudging and prompting. But then what you're not dealing with is the irritation factor of having ambushed me as I'm about to go into a meeting and answering the phone and then asking me how my car service was last week. And is there 5 minutes of my time? And I'm kind of thinking, well, if I had a problem with the way you serviced my car, I would be phoning you right now. You wouldn't have to phone me, or, you don't need to upsell me on my current mobile contract right now as I'm about to, fetch my child from school. Those types of things. So I think that what we're trying to do is to eliminate many of those irritating factors, because people are time starved and invariably you're never going to know what the right time is to phone somebody and to reach them. So hopefully customers and research respondents appreciate the benefit of engaging on their own terms at the right time.
Now, I certainly would hope for that. And I think it's at least good that you're talking about making, some of these things relevant and, incentivizing the process in one way or another. So given where you guys are as Sense, what has the reception been like? And by that, whatever metric you can share in terms of growth, how long have you guys been in the market? And I guess the type of clients that are using that are using the platform? Are there any big names that you could talk to us about? Whatever you can share.
Sure. The company has been going for the better part of 18 months now, closer to 2 years in terms of evolving, developing, creating the tech. It's been the major focus of the organization. And a lot of the founders of the company have worked together for much longer than that. So it's not a new company. When I started MNC Saatchi Able, I'd worked with a lot of the people for many, many years before in a previous life. And so when we opened our doors, somebody described us as a grown-up startup. And I would describe Sense as that as well, because the people have been working together for such a long period of time in different investments and businesses and organizations that there is a deep history that goes back. So you could say Sense is 10 years old, let alone, 18 months or 2 years old, and having deep, deep relationships with people in the marketplace already. So the real focus has been on perfecting the technology, which, as you know, is an ongoing process, for this kind of a business, learning, asking the right questions. And actually, that also brings me back to your previous question, if you don't mind, Mudiwa, is that so many research questions, questionnaires, and approaches are about getting to the right answer without understanding if you're asking the right question. And a lot of our technology actually make sure that we are asking the right question first in order to get to the right answer. So there's been a great uptake by clients that are looking at this thing and by agencies who are looking at this thing, because although I come from MNC Saatchi Group locally and globally, the intention is to make this equally available as a tool to any advertising agency, marketing, consultancy, any client. The fact that I happen to be in the MNC Saatchi Group is irrelevant, and I have absolutely no access to any of the market research done for any of those clients, which is really important for me to state. So there are absolute, forget paper walls, there's the Great Wall of China between me and the research results being done for any of the clients. So people that are listening go onto the website, you will see that there are a variety of clients that we are currently working with. But for example, the Pepco Group, we're doing work with them at the moment. We're doing work with the Takealot.com Group. And so organizations that are involved in e-commerce, that are involved in absolutely understanding their customers deeply in order to enhance the experience. And a number of those types of clients. And we have a lot of global clients that we're working with at the moment, that are in the early phase, and I've been asked not to divulge that until it's uploaded onto the website and shared. But the intention is very much for Sense to be a global company, not to be based on the Irish market specifically, because we are a Dublin headquartered company, or to be based in the South African market where, people like myself have got a lot of relationships. But to make this tool equally available, whether you live in Miami or New York or Auckland or Beijing, because it is a digital company. It's a digital offering, and it's a 24/7 offering. So time zones are irrelevant in terms of the research technology.
All right. And I guess that also gives us a sense, because when we talk about the likes of Pepco, the likes of Takealot.com, like you said, big e-commerce, but big retail, big consumer-facing, types of operations. I would imagine that there's use cases around user experience, when navigating their platforms, fulfillment of service, service in store, all of that stuff, that's there. Maybe even price points, type of things that, would fit into that type of thing. Another curiosity on my side is the technology itself, because I know that we are at a time where AI, artificial intelligence. Previously, people spoke quite a bit about machine learning, automation. But where we are right now in the current lexicon, people talk a lot about, you know, AI, especially in its generative form. You know, everyone is very excited about this thing. And we keep talking about the fact that now we are looking at the actual use cases. We know what the technology can do. But now we were saying, okay, fine, what are the use cases? And I think this is quite an interesting one, you know, around market research. It does beg the question, though, around accuracy, right? Because you mentioned, we spoke earlier on about the different sensors that are being involved, the different types of data. And I do know that some people might ask the question to say, okay, fine, if I have an interview with an avatar, with a digital avatar for 10 minutes. Yes, it's capturing my voice, it's capturing my words, it's recording my face, analyzing my movements, everything. But how accurate is this thing, especially when it comes to reading, you know, human emotion?
Well, I think it's far more accurate in many ways than a human who brings, you know, unconscious bias to a conversation. So when you've got a human being sitting on the other side and asking a whole lot of questions, there's simultaneously a whole lot of assumptions that would come with that. And so the technology is designed in such a way as to listen to and to really hear and to really judge the situation, as opposed to bringing any unconscious or conscious bias to the interview. I'll give you an example. So recently, a very large firm in South Africa, because I'm going to cite an example, I prefer to kind of remain anonymous, engaged a research company on a staff satisfaction survey. And they got a very, very high level of staff satisfaction. But simultaneously, they had an equally high staff turnover rate. Now, you can't have high staff satisfaction and high staff turnover. The two don't go hand in hand. But they were not eliciting the real issues because they were not asking the right questions. They were preconceived in terms of what they were looking for. And so they then came to us at Sense and they asked us to conduct that research. And staff satisfaction was less than half of what it had been in terms of the traditional interview human-led research. And people just hadn't felt comfortable answering those questions in an honest and authentic way. And the questions weren't being asked in the right way. And so the behavioral tech and the AI could kick in and ask the questions from a multiple range of ways, which got to real usable insights. So I think that, you know, the old warm body of asking those questions is not necessarily the right way always. And they're warm bodies behind the business. So as you and I know, it's, you know, it's not that AI replaces jobs, it's that it directs people into different areas. You know, it's not as if when the car was invented, you know, people that would have ridden a horse carriage back in the day no longer had a job. They would have gone on to do some other things. And so all of this fear and mythology around, you know, is AI going to replace us all? No, it's not. We're just going to be able to focus and lean in and hone other skills, other areas, and I think have a much richer and a much better output in many areas than we currently get in.
So when it comes to something like that, before we let you go, where are the opportunities, right? You've given us some insight into the accuracy. We now understand how the platform works. We understand the biases that are trying to be stripped out of the process, the traditional way of doing things, and all that. Is the, as behavior tech, as Sense, is it purely a play around perhaps optimizing or making better the traditional, you know, market research process? You know, are there any other use cases that you're seeing for the tech, or are you sort of keeping it laser focused for now?
Well, I think that the, I mean, our company is a research company specifically, but naturally the tech has got, you know, application in many, many different types of businesses, you know, that where other people might choose to look at it differently. And some of the investors in the Sense company, you know, might try and harness that tech for other kinds of industries and businesses. But for us, our focus is a laser orientated one, as you said, in terms of looking for much deeper, much richer, much more valuable insights that companies can work off in terms of understanding their customers and predictive modeling around behavior. So, for example, something very current right now in South Africa is the elections coming up. Dormant voters, non-registered voters, huge problem in South Africa, voter apathy. And how do you understand people better to get them to think more, to get them to think differently, to understand what their motivations are? So one could look at a political environment. As I said, you know, one can look at understanding customers in a variety of different ways across a variety of different need states. So we see this thing having enormous growth just within, as you said, the strict focus that we've applied in terms of far better, far truer, far richer, and far quicker and more affordable access to information, because sometimes cost is also a barrier, and we want to reduce the cost of getting to those insights.
That's where we end off this conversation, you know, talking about some of the, you know, new technology that is being used by the likes of Pepco and Takealot Group, talking about how do you make the market research process a little bit better by making use of technology, taking out some of the bias, you know, making use of AI as it reads facial expressions, tone of voice, the words that are actually being taken, dynamically changing, you know, the approach to questions in an interview, depending on what's actually being sensed. I think we've said the word sense quite a lot in today's conversation, and it lends itself, you know, to the type of conversation that we've been having. Also, very interesting to get a sense of how AI is being made use of in different ways, because when a person is engaging with a generative AI platform, ChatGPT, Bard, now Gemini, any one of those, we've been talking quite a bit about text, and by some predictions, you know, we said that 2024 might be the year of two things. Firstly, understanding use cases, but also, you know, what people call multimodal AI. And that's basically, you know, how do you lift yourself beyond just the text? You know, how do you get inputs, you know, visual inputs? How do you get audio inputs and actually analyze and use data from that point of view to generate, you know, actual responses? In this particular case, there'll be, you know, you're dynamically changing the approach, you know, to a line of questioning based on how someone is actually responding, as a way to get to, you know, to use you know, Mike's words earlier on, a deeper truth about what's actually going on. So very interesting, you know, use case, and, you know, really great to see. I wonder what type of conversation, you know, Mike and I would be having, you know, 18 months from now, if these are the types of conversations that we're having 18 months, you know, post, you know, the inception of this particular platform, even though this is a group of people that have been working together, it sounds like, for a really long time. So that's been it. It has been a great discussion. We were talking to Mike Abel, non-executive chair over at Sense. Mike, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Mundiwe. Greatly enjoyed the conversation, and hope to have that conversation in 18 months' time.
No, definitely, definitely, definitely.
Thank you for inviting me.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.